Today on the Pastor's Study, our lesson is entitled, Waiting on the Lord. Waiting on the Lord. But before we begin today, as always, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, thank you for being the great God that thou art. Father, we ask your blessing upon the lesson today. We pray that you would strengthen and encourage the saint of God listening today. And if there is a lost soul listening today, I pray that they would come to realize their lost condition and need of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved, trusting in his shed blood and nothing else to pay for all his sins, past, present, and future, and secure them a home in heaven. Father, we pray that you would have your will and your way in our lesson today. And it's in Jesus' precious name we pray and give thanks. Amen. Waiting on the Lord. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 40. And we'll look at verse number 31, a very familiar verse of scripture probably to many of you listening today. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, the words of God say this, But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. One of the things I am not good at is waiting. I freely admit I have a problem when it comes to being patient. After many years in the ministry, I've learned much about waiting on the Lord. However, I still find myself getting impatient at times. You see, waiting just doesn't come easy for me. As a general rule, we live in a very impatient society. We live in an instant society of fast food, instant information on demand. I think of all the different search engines on the computer that we have. We have pay at the pump gasoline, and of course, buy now, pay later, a philosophy which has been the downfall of many families. It is interesting to note that one of the greatest spiritual virtues in the Bible has to do with this matter of waiting. Look at our text, amen, that we just read. It says, But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Is waiting on the Lord as hard for you as it is for me? Today, let us together look at the subject of waiting upon the Lord. Well, I want us to look at three things concerning waiting on the Lord. First of all, let's look at examples of those who have waited on the Lord. Let's take Job, for example. I'd have you to turn with me to the book of James, chapter 5. The book of James, chapter 5. In the book of James, chapter number 5, let us look together at verses 10 and 11. And this is what the words of God say. Take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard, here it is, of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. We think of all that Job went through. He lost His finances, all of his finances. He lost his family, his friends, his health. But he went through this trial, and the Lord delivered him and restored to him more than he had before. Amen. We have another great example in the Bible of someone waiting on the Lord, and that's Noah. Let's look at the example of Noah. Noah had to wait for the flood 120 years. In fact, it had not even so much as rained until the day he and his family entered the ark. Can you hear his critics, amen, back then? They'd say, "Hey, Noah, come here. Tell us about the rain again. We need a good laugh. You say water is going to fall from the sky. That's a good one, Noah." Noah had to wait for the waters to recede. We're told from the 17th day of the second month until the 17th day of the seventh month, that's 150 days, the waters prevailed. The ark had rested on Mount Ararat. From that point, he waited 40 more days to send out a raven and a dove. The raven did not return, but the dove did. And then he waited 7 more days and sent again the dove that returned with an olive leaf in her mouth. And then he waited 7 more days and sent out the dove again, and this time she did not return. And then he waited some more and took off the covering of the ark. This was 1 month and 17 days shy of a year since he and his family entered the ark. Then he waited still another month and 10 days, and God told him he could exit the ark. That is a total of 1 year and 10 days, the 27th day of the second month. My friends listening today, that took a lot of patience and waiting on the Lord, did it not? Now we look at Abram and Sarai for an example. Abram should have waited on the Lord in the matter of the famine. See? In Genesis chapter 12, verse 10, he is in the land the Lord has promised him, and he leaves it and goes down into Egypt because of a famine. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 12 for a moment. Genesis chapter 12. In Genesis chapter 12 and verse 10, this is what the words of God say. And there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. Now, you won't find any record of his seeking the Lord's face about this decision to go down to Egypt, or of the Lord telling him to go down into Egypt, amen. I believe one of the things Abram brought out of Egypt, which is a type of the world, is Hagar, his wife's Egyptian handmaid. And we know the problem that that caused, amen. All the contention in his family, amen. We see that Abraham failed in this lesson of waiting on the Lord. And then we see that Abram should have waited on the Lord in the matter of the family. Now he and Sarai had waited for the birth of Isaac. Abram was 75 years old and Sarai was 65 years old when the Lord called Abram and made him a promise to make of him a great nation. We see from Scripture that Abram waited a little while and nothing seemed to be happening. So Abram thought maybe the Lord meant that the steward of his house, Eliezer, was going to be his heir. The Lord said Eliezer wasn't what he had in mind. After 11-year wait, The Lord still hadn't done anything about Abram and Sarai, a child. Sarai became impatient and suggested that Abram should have a child by her handmaid, Hagar. Instead of listening to the Lord and waiting on the Lord, Abram listened to Sarai. And boy, was that ever a mistake. We can still see today the consequences that resulted from not waiting on the Lord. Because we know Hagar had Ishmael, who was the father of all the Arab nations. Amen. And who are out to destroy the nation of Israel to this day. And all through time. Finally, after 25-year wait, the Lord did exactly what he said that he would do. Isaac, the promised seed, was born. Now let's take Joseph for an example. Joseph had to wait in the pit to see what his fate would be after his brothers cast him down into the pit. He had to wait for the end of the trip to Egypt to see what would become of him. He had to wait in prison for the chief butler to remember him. And he had to wait for his dream to come true, but it did. Amen. Take our Lord Jesus Christ for an example. He had to wait for the time to be fulfilled. Take Mary and Martha for an example. They had to wait for Jesus to arrive when Lazarus was sick and then died. Take the disciples for an example. They had to wait in Jerusalem for the promised Holy Spirit. And take all the believers in this age for an example, waiting down through the years for the Lord's return. How did these and others in Scripture who waited on the Lord do it? How did they wait on the Lord? Well, number one, they received the Lord's promises by faith. Number two, they rested in the Lord's character by faith. And number three, they relied upon the Lord's love by faith. In each case, where they waited on the Lord, it was worth the wait. Okay, you may say, that may be good for the spiritual giants, but what about us? How is it possible for us to learn to wait on the Lord? Well, let's look at then, number two, the energy and effort that are necessary to wait on the Lord. Now, understand this. Understand that waiting on the Lord does not mean sitting still and doing nothing. No, it doesn't. First of all, waiting on the Lord requires communication with the Lord. We must trust the Lord to hear our prayers. We must immerse ourselves in the Word of God. Reading, meditating, and studying the Word for ourselves. And also, we immerse ourselves in the Word of God by submitting ourselves to fundamental Bible preaching and teaching. Amen. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter number 4. In Ephesians chapter number 4, I want us to look at verses 11 and 12 together. And this is what the words of God say. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Why did he do that? Well, verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So, again, one of the ways we immerse ourselves in the Word of God is submitting ourselves to fundamental biblical preaching and teaching. And that's why God has given us preachers and teachers, so we can submit ourselves to their preaching and teaching. And then we must be sensitive, amen, again, as we're looking at how waiting on the Lord requires communication with the Lord, we must be sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leading through the words of Almighty God. So, waiting on the Lord requires communication with the Lord. Waiting on the Lord requires consecration to the Lord. Consecration to the Lord. We must consecrate or set apart or dedicate ourselves to the Lord. We must consecrate our circumstances to the Lord. Yes, every care and concern. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, the words of God say, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. We must consecrate every decision to the Lord. Amen. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3 and verses 5 to 6. The words of God say this: trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. So we need to consecrate, amen, ourselves to the Lord, our circumstances through the Lord, by every care and concern, by every decision. See, when you have a decision to make, set it apart to the Lord. Give it to the Lord. As we read in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Give it to him. He'll give you the right decision, the right way to go. Trust in him. And we must consecrate our way to the Lord. In Psalm 37, verse 23, Psalm 37, verse 23, the words of God say this: the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. See, our steps can only be ordered by the Lord if we consecrate our way to the Lord. And then we must consecrate the outcomes to the Lord. You see, we cannot wait on the Lord and dictate the outcome at the same time. Whatever the Lord's answer is, it will be better than the one we could have come up with. Amen. Remember that God is always good, and God is always right, my friend. Well, what if we expend the energy and put forth the effort to wait on the Lord? What can we expect? What are the results? Amen. What will be the results of waiting on him? Now, the third point of our message here is the encouraging results of waiting on the Lord. The first one we want to see is this: waiting on the Lord brings renewed strength. Amen. Waiting on the Lord brings renewed strength. Let's go back to Isaiah chapter 40 for a moment. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31 again. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. See, waiting on the Lord brings renewed strength. Spiritual, emotional, and sometimes physical strength. Psalm 103 with me. In verse number 5, the words of God say this: Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagle. And then in Psalm 138, verse 3, the words of God say in Psalm 138, verse 3, In the day when I cried, thou answerest me, and strengthenest me with strength in my soul. So in these two Psalms, we see the promise of the results of waiting on the Lord, that the Lord brings renewed strength. Amen. Oh, waiting on the Lord may be difficult and hard at times, but the payoff is great. You know, the flesh is weak, and it doesn't like to wait. It wants it now. But my dear friend, the scriptures are so clear. If we wait upon the Lord, if we wait and rest in Him, the results will be great. Another result of waiting on the Lord is waiting on the Lord lifts us higher. See? That back to Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. See? We see that eagles use the winds of storms to allow them to soar higher. They don't allow the storms to drag them down. Amen. In James chapter 4, James chapter 4 with me, in verse number 10, we read this in God's words. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. And then by waiting on the Lord, my friend, that's exactly what you're doing. You're humbling yourselves in the sight of the Lord. And in other words, you're allowing Him to take charge of your life. You're waiting on Him. See? You're waiting on Him to guide and direct you to make the decision. Amen. In His timing and on His schedule. The flesh doesn't like that. Amen. But when you wait on Him, you're humbling yourselves. You're saying, Lord, You have control of my life. I'm waiting on You for the next move, the next direction that You want me to go. So if you'll humble yourselves in the Lord, He will lift you up. See? He will make you go higher. He'll bring you up from that difficult circumstance that you've been in, or that trial that you may be going through. Amen? And then in 1 Peter, chapter 5, verse 6, 1 Peter 5, 6, the words of God say this: Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. See? Humble yourselves. You know, the Bible principle is you've got to go down before you can go up. How true that is, my friends. But if you'll humble yourselves, if you'll wait on the Lord, He will exalt you in due time. He'll bring you up. You'll soar higher. Amen. You'll overcome that circumstance, that trial. But you can only do that by waiting on Him. Amen. Allowing Him to guide and direct you. And you have to humble yourselves. You have to put your flesh under to wait on the Lord. Then we see, waiting on the Lord allows us to run the race of life and not be weary. Again we see, and they shall run and not be weary. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 41. And this is because when we wait on the Lord, we face life's race in the strength of the Lord and not in our own strength. See? Because we're saying when we wait on the Lord, we're going to follow your plan. We're going to wait for your direction. We're going to go in your power and your might, Lord. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter number 6, in verse 10, we read this. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord. That's the only way you and I can be strong. Is in the Lord, see? And in the power of His might. The only way that you and I have strength and power is it comes from the Lord. And when we wait on Him, amen, that's what He will give us, strength and power to get through whatever we're getting through. It may be unpleasant at the time, but if we wait on Him, the payoff is great. That's what we're seeing today in the Scriptures about waiting on the Lord. Listen to what the psalmist wrote in Psalm 18, verse number 2. The words of God say this, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, the horn of my salvation, in my high tower." All these wonderful adjectives that describe the Lord. Rock, fortress, deliverer, strength, buckler, horn of my salvation, and high tower. See? By waiting on the Lord, it allows you and I, amen, to run the race of life and not be weary. And then we see, amen, waiting on the Lord allows us to walk and not faint. There have been times in my life the greatest spiritual blessing I received that day was simply the strength not to faint. I'm talking about sometimes when the burdens were heavy upon me. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, we're told, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Amen. I conclude our lesson today with a little bit of an illustration. A grandfather was taking a nature hike with his 6-year-old grandson. The child was running ahead and came to a creek and afraid that it was going to fall in. The grandfather said, "Child, wait for me and I'll get you across." Surprisingly, the child obeyed. And when the grandfather got there, he lifted the child upon his shoulders and waded the creek. And when they got to the other side, the grandchild said, "If I hadn't waited on you, I would have never made it across." My friends, how true that is for us too. Let us wait on the Lord, and He will get us across any obstacle life puts in our way. It's all the time we have today. Until we meet again, May God richly bless you is my prayer, and good day.